Welcome to the 18th episode of Fun with Scotch and Other Fine Spirits. And I'm John Pitchford.
I'm Judy.
I'm Marlis.
And tonight we're going to be visiting the islands once again in Scotland. And we're going to be taking a look at Scapa the Orcadian and Talisker single malt Scotch whiskey. 10-year, I guess it is.
Scapa is also a single malt.
Yes, they're both single malts, and with that, we'll go ahead and get started.
So the first one will be the Scapa.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to tell them anything?
I don't know if I want to tell them anything, but I will. Mm-hmm. The Scapa is from Orkney, which I'm guessing is one of the islands.
Yes.
And that they get their water from the Orquil Springs, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. It's O-R-Q-U-I-L, Springs. It's used for their mashing, and it says they that because of their climate, they lose less in evaporation. I haven't even started drinking yet. Well, I guess I did have a little, but anyway, evaporation. So that and that evaporation, we have learned in our education here is that that's called the angel share, the part that evaporates off of the mash. So it loses less. And typically, angel share claims 2% of every batch, but apparently for this, they get less than 2%.
Nice.
So let us see.
It's a lovely amber color.
It is a lovely amber. Actually, both of them, what we're going to do,
yes,
look about the same. Mm-hmm.
Now, neither of them say they're non-colored or anything, so it may be
they have a little...
Maybe that they have a little caramel in them, but we'll see. It smells good. Kind of light, not harsh.
It's real mild. I'm getting maybe a little oak.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Not a lot else.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's got a little bit of a honey, a little bit of a honeyness to it.
Oh, yeah. I can see that. Mm-hmm. Kind of in the mouthfeel, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it does. It has that nice, the legs are on this. Or I don't think they're quite as leggy as the ones we had with the Irish whiskey.
Yeah, but they last look week, nice.
But
yeah.
They are nice, and it's a nice. It's smooth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's sort of the usual vanilla, oak, little honey, a little bit of spice, but not nearly as much as some of the Highlanders Bayside.
Yeah.
Would be my...
No, it's really nice. May I see the bottle? Mm-hmm. I was just going to take another look at it. See if it gave us any... Oh, it helps if you put on your glasses to read the small print.
It does.
Yes. I like what it says here. Inspired by summer's bright, glittering skies, described in Old Norse as skirin, this expression is exclusively... matured in first-fill American oak casks for a smooth, creamy sweetness with a hint of tropical fruit, citrus, and coastal heather.
Mm.
Not sure that I got any of that, but okay.
Well, and I haven't spent a lot of time eating coastal heather.
I haven't,
either,
so or any, or even non-coastal heather.
That's true.
I'm not sure what heather tastes like. We'll have to ask her. Anyway.
I think that's enough of that.
Yes. But I don't know that I get the fruit particularly. Maybe that's the honey. What I'm thinking is honey.
No, I just had a little bit of cheese and then tasted it, and I got a little more mellowness.
Mm.
So I can see that there might be some more.
I do like it, though.
I do, yes.
I could drink more of that.
Yes.
Yeah, I think what we're calling honey there
is probably
what
they're
talking
fruit.
About is the fruit.
Okay.
Yeah, it's got a little bit of a fruit character to it, but it's just... A real mild, pleasant sweetness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, where would you see yourself drinking this?
I don't know. Mm. For some reason, in a bed of heather.
on a hillside.
On a hillside in a bed of heather, overlooking the Scapa Flow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's where I think I would be if I were drinking this. No. Actually, I get, for some reason... Sitting on a beach, listening to the waves coming in is really what I was thinking.
Yeah.
I just had
and
to get
I don't know if it's because I know it's an island or that it just actually seems, but it seems appropriate.
Yeah, I think it's all right for the, you know, that knowledge to influence where you would want to drink mm-hmm. it. But no, mm-hmm. I think this would be a lovely, maybe like when we go to the shore, to the beach mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. November, you mm-hmm. know. Because it's kind of cold out, and you're just watching the waves come in, and just sit there in a little beach mm-hmm. chair.
I think it'll warm you up
while mm-hmm. you're sitting there in the cool wind.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice easy chair with slippers and a cigar.
You're not on the beach, I'm guessing.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's true. No, not on the beach.
So John's not on the beach.
I'd be sitting inside while everyone else was on the beach.
He's looking out the picture window, looking over the cliff down at the beach.
Okay. We're actually having to add a little bit to our.
I know, we enjoyed that one. Apparently, we like the scuppa.
Yeah. It's good.
And hopefully, we're pronouncing that right, too, because we did not look up pronunciation. No. So, if anybody wants to educate us, please do.
Feel free.
So, Talisker Marlis, tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, Talisker, the distillery was originally established in 1831. It's from the Isle of Skye, from the town of Carbost. And it's been through, of course, many various iterations and rebuilding and fires and, you know, various other things. And at present, it's owned by Diageo, which, of course, is one of the big conglomerates that is into the whiskey world right now, and which I've been mispronouncing for several months now.
But anyway. I'm sure we're mispronouncing a lot of things.
Well, that's probably true. For a time, it was using a triple distillation, but then it went back about in the 1920s, went back to the double distilling that is more common in Scotland. So it also is a lovely amber mm-hmm. color. Oh, it's a different smell, though.
It's totally different from the Scapa. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's not peat, but it's definitely earthier.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe more oak.
Huh. Interesting. Maybe it has more of that brine from the sea surrounding the islands.
Yeah, that could be it.
Okay.
Hmm. Makes me think of leather, but I'm not sure if that's, you know, what I'm getting. But I definitely think of brine when I'm smelling that.
Mm-hmm. This definitely is, it's not a peaty taste, but it reminds me of like I want to be peaty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Petey's little brother.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got some smoke mm-hmm. in there,
mm-hmm.
and you can imagine sitting by the fire with the smoke coming off. And
yeah, this one's definitely a by the fire,
mm-hmm.
sitting by the fire with the pipe and slippers there,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or in your Scottish pub next to a fire.
Yes, yes.
But yeah, that's interesting. This would be good for someone who is not totally enamored with the strong Isla flavors,
mm-hmm.
but wants to explore the more smoky
mm-hmm.
flavors.
It's not as heavy. It's not as much in your face,
mm-hmm.
but it's got that kind of brine and iodine and mm-hmm. seaweed and that sort of thing in it.
Hmm.
And yet there's a sweetness and a caramel
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
in there as well.
Interesting.
It's really nicely balanced, I think, at least for my taste buds.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that's really good.
Mm-hmm. No.
Just checking out the legs here.
Uh-huh. Does it feel oily to you at all?
No.
Not me neither. And no, I was just wondering if I was missing.
It seems thinner, I guess, would be, because mm-hmm. there doesn't have the legs that some of the past ones we've had that have been a lot more oily in quotations,
mm-hmm.
oily-ness to it. So, yeah. That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lingering warming effect in the back of my throat.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one thing with these, I noticed that, especially when it's our first time with a particular whiskey, we tend to buy sort of the basic, you know, the 10-year, the 12-year, whatever mm-hmm. the kind of basic run is. But with some of them, and I think both of these would qualify, you'd really like to taste some of the other iterations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've got Reserve editions, or 25 years, or 18, or Talisker Dark Storm. That sounds lovely.
Only $8,000. I think you're kidding, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
But it sounds really tasty. Given the 10-year, it's like, oh yeah, I can see where you could add to this and make it really fun. Not that it's not fun on its own, but you could do different things with it.
So what did you think, John?
Well, these are both really good. They're very different. Like you said, the Talisker is more similar to an Isla in its character. Not as strong as some of the Islas in taste and, you know, the peat and smoke, but it's definitely there. It's close to them. While the Scapa is just really a pleasant, slightly sweet, very tasty scotch. Mm-hmm. I like them both.
Yeah, right now my favorite is the Scapa. I think it's more of a one that you could have each day if you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that because of the nature of Islas and the fact that not everybody likes them, that I think everybody probably would like the Scapa, but anybody who likes a little smoke or a little peat or a little extra spice would really enjoy the Talisker. Mm-hmm. People who've been drinking a while, drinking different scotches and trying them out, and
or like,
are looking for something new, or mm-hmm.
Or like me, like I've started to not like the heavier Islas so much. It's mm-hmm. like my tastes have changed a little bit, and they're a little too strong mm-hmm. tasting mm-hmm. for me, even though that's what made me like scotch in the first place. I really mm-hmm. like them. So this is more to my liking because it's lighter, mm-hmm. the Talisker. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So is it time for the water?
Yes, it's time for the water challenge.
The water test. It's kind of like witches. We're going to give it the water test.
That's it.
We'll see which of our whiskeys is which, if any.
If it floats, it's made of wood, and therefore it's a witch. All right.
A little Monty Python reference there. It smells sweeter, the Scapa.
Mm, yeah, I can really smell that sweetness.
I don't think the water did a whole lot.
Mm-mm. Not to the flavor. It might have helped bring out
the aroma.
I think we got a little bit more scent out of it, a little more smell, and mm-hmm. Maybe a little milder flavor on it. I don't think it helped the flavor.
Didn't hurt it either.
No, mm-hmm. no.
Well, I don't think it hurt it.
Yeah, no. It's okay. Yeah, it's good.
I think that what I've noticed really changes flavors for me is what I eat with it. Mm-hmm. You know, so even the little bit of cheese made a difference in how both of them tasted and how they kind of interacted with your mouth and your taste buds. So,
yeah, we should do some food pairings sometime.
I know.
Mm-hmm. With our,
we did one episode on it when we went to the restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Right. We could also do our own.
Yeah, yeah, we should include mm-hmm. more of that, though.
The book that I loaned you by, I'm going to massacre her name now. Is it Heather Green? Whiskey Distilled?
I don't remember who the author is.
Yeah, But the last chapter, which I actually didn't read yet, is on pairings with food.
Oh, okay. So yeah, we should concentrate on that because that'll be fun. Mm-hmm. Because where we went, Chelsea Farms Oyster Bar, mm-hmm. I don't think they've been doing those because the guy who was there, I don't know what you call that person now. I've lost my words. Mm-hmm. Whatever his job was, mm-hmm. he is no longer there.
Oh.
They have a new person, and I don't know that they're doing the the food pairings like they were before.
Yeah.
Mm, that's too bad.
It was fun.
Okay, so let's the Talisker. Mm-hmm. Talisker with water.
Doesn't seem to make as much of a difference in the scent.
Mm-mm.
On the other hand, I think my thought is that given that the Talisker was a little more rambunctious to start with, the water didn't hurt it.
No. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it mellowed it a little bit, too, but it's still quite good.
Mm-hmm. You didn't like that at all, did you?
No, not at all.
All gone.
Hit me again. No.
All right. Did we want to talk about, we actually went to a rye tasting last Tuesday at Dillinger's, which is one of our local cocktail bars and restaurants.
Yeah.
And they had three ryes from a single distiller, the Fremont Mischief.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it took me a minute there. I was like, I got the Fremont, and then it was like, there's another word. What
Do
is that
Do you have
word?
The paper?
No.
Oh. Does John have the paper?
Nope. I took it out of my pocket, I think.
Okay. Well, anyway, he does the distiller there does very high-end ryes. They're all like 80% rye. And
And there
he
you go.
Does yeah, have it.
Great.
Yeah, Mischief Rye Whiskies. The first one we tasted was the John Jacob Rye. So, of course, we sang John Jacob Jingleheimer Schmidt a lot after that. And that was the 90% Northern Dark Rye Berries, 10% Malted Barley. It's 80 proof. It was pretty smooth.
It was smoother than I expected.
Yeah.
I always expect rye to be harsh.
What is it you said? People who drink rye, what do you picture?
Yeah, I always picture...
And don't take offense, people.
I know, kind of old guys in rural bars, you know, sitting there drinking their rye whiskey, you know, and just... Or being mixed in a cocktail. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I never... The few times I had actually tasted rye, it was like, oh, it's kind of bitey, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I've found that I like to try beers that are made with some rye.
Oh.
I usually find those pretty tasty. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that one was very good. It was very smooth. I really enjoyed it.
Kind of light, but
yeah.
Smooth.
Mm-hmm. And then the next one was the straight rye whiskey, which is 95 proof, which then you go, whoa, you know. But that said, it wasn't as bitey as you would think it would be.
No, it was, and it was much more complex. You know, if the first one was kind of light and kind of all the upper notes, this one had a lot more lower notes, and you were kind of like, oh my goodness, what is that? What is that? It was really interesting.
Mm-hmm. And that one is 85% rye and 15% malted barley.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one was the Skagit Gold Rye, which apparently was very, very popular that night. And we almost didn't get to taste it. They ran out. We got the last of it.
Yeah.
And that one was, I think, everybody's favorite.
That was
and
amazing.
It's 100 proof.
Yeah.
And smooth.
Uh-huh.
Smooth and
it was
sweet.
Mellow.
Yeah.
It was dangerous.
All sorts of interesting flavors there. It was like, okay, this is a complete revelation to me.
And that one is 80% rye and 20% malted barley. It says this is a velvety smooth whiskey that tastes of maple and light oak. And it did.
There was a maple in there.
I was trying to to place the flavor I was getting from it and, you know, without cheating on the sheet. And, yeah, it must have been the maple. It gave it a very a nice little sweet flavor.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked that one. And so did everyone else there, I guess, because then they started ordering mixed drinks with it.
Yeah. The guy actually poured our three servings before he started mixing the last round of cocktails that had been ordered, because otherwise we wouldn't have gotten anything.
No, and I'm so glad we did. I wonder if they would have given us a discount.
I don't know. Or they probably would have found us another rye to taste. But
I guess, but then we would have missed.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, it was what I'm finding doing this podcast is that it is crushing many of my prejudices, which I resent deeply, but am nonetheless enjoying.
Yeah.
So I never liked bourbon that much, but now I'm finding it more and more interesting. And I thought American whiskey, you know, and a couple episodes ago we had some amazing whiskeys from America, and now rye, you know, one of my last whiskey prejudices has fallen. You know, I'm just like, oh my goodness.
I don't know, what about Canadian whiskey?
See, the old man in bars.
We haven't done that.
No, we'll have to. Maybe this fall we should do it. Canadian whiskey.
Yeah. That sounds like a good time.
Yeah. Fall. Around Canadian Thanksgiving, which I think is in October.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Did not know that they celebrated Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm. And then we will thank them for their whiskey.
There you go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That would be good.
Maybe.
We'll have to wait and see.
I'm anticipating joy here.
Yeah,
you know, that there will be.
Oh, sure.
Since she's enjoyed all the others, she figures she'll just go ahead and thank them.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But it has really opened our eyes to new and wonderful things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been fun.
It has been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really great because there's as much variety in every kind of whiskey as there is in every other kind, it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
And I had no idea before we started this that that so many different styles of whiskey existed, or that they would be that good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that you could get so many different flavors. I mean, I'm sure some of these taste like others, but really they're very individual.
Mm-hmm.
Very individual.
One of the guys on the whiskey vault, and of course I can never remember which one is which, but said he had tasted a French whiskey of all things. And it's like, oh my God, the French too? You know, what is the world coming to? And they said it tasted almost like wine because
it's French.
Well, yeah, you know, and that, their sensibilities and their barrels and everything else. And I'm just like, oh my God, that would be amazing.
I want to say that on Instagram, I think there's a Swedish whiskey.
There are a couple Swedish whiskeys, you know.
Really? Yeah.
It's not just Scotland, America, and Japan anymore.
Everybody's got it, yeah.
And New Zealand. I saw something.
Oh, I don't know if I can go New Zealand because, you know, I have to say... New Zealand wine, usually when I have a New Zealand wine, well, and I drink white wine, I can't drink red because of the tannins, it makes me sick. But every time I taste it, I swear to God, it tastes like grass and tobacco, which is to me is not a lovely flavor.
I kind of like the New Zealand, but yeah. I think
the people who really like New Zealand wines are smokers because of the tobacco. But anyway, but Marlis is not a smoker. Just putting it out there. But, you know, it just, I don't know. There's just something about it. Mm-hmm. It tastes very grassy.
Mm-hmm. What kind of wine
tobacco-y.
Was that?
It was Marlboro, which I thought was ironic.
Was Sauvignon County, Blanc, yeah.
Marlboro.
That's what it was. Yeah.
It was a Sauvignon Blanc, yeah. It was the company, the... What do you call it? The vineyard was Marlboro. Mm-hmm. And I was like, haha, Marlboro tastes like tobacco. Uh-huh. Anyway.
You could be the Marlboro girl.
I could. No.
Woman.
No.
All right.
But anyway, I would be interesting to taste New Zealand whiskeys and see if they also taste like grass and tobacco.
I know. Sometime maybe in the next year we should do whiskeys from far, far away.
Yeah.
That would be good.
Save up our pennies.
I think so.
That's the problem is that a lot of those are a lot more expensive. So we'll
They're rare.
Then, I know. Yeah.
You have to hunt them down.
They're small batches.
Big pit traps for them to fall into.
Exactly. Snares.
They're like rare books.
I know.
That's right.
Okay, I think we're devolving.
Okay. Does that mean it's time to stop?
I think so.
Oh, okay. Do we know what we're doing next time?
No, we don't.
Uh-oh.
All okay, right. so next time will be what? What's now?
What's now?
Is March. Yeah. Okay, so in April, do we want to do gin?
Is there a reason you want to do gin in April?
Well,
is that something
gin.
The we Easter could. Bunny
it's,
likes?
It seems to be kind of a spring summer drink. We could wait until later in the summer.
I was wondering if we should do...
words
use
be hard.
Words.
It's so hard.
In case any of you wondering, it's not the alcohol, it's our age.
There's a lot of that.
There's a lot going on, I take the cat to the vet and all this stuff. But anyway, communion wines.
No,
Easter.
They're all red for one thing.
Well, they're all red. Well, I wouldn't have to drinking just a little bit. We could just put them on little crackers.
No.
Oh. They're not liking my idea. I don't understand. Can we pretend like it's white communion wine?
No.
I realize it's red for
gin
a reason.
Can be white communion wine.
Okay. All right. I'll go with it. All right. I was just wondering if there's a reason why you want to do gin in April.
Well, I have one that I haven't opened yet that I would like to taste, but I'm sure there are other good gins too. So
maybe. I've never been a big gin fan, so now this is going to be time for me to open up my eyes because I am not even when I order a martini, I get a vodka martini. Oh, so
if anybody has a particular gin they're fond of, email us. At funwithscotch@gmail.com and tell us all about it. We'd love to know.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Be cool.
All right. Till next time then.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Mm.